Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we want to look into the Gospel of Mark and we want to highlight a few things from chapter 9. In chapter 9 we have a story of Jesus being transfigured. That's the expression. It's a situation where something of the glory which he had in heaven was seen on earth. We must remember that when Jesus walked around in Palestine for those 33 years, in physical appearance he would have appeared like many other Jews. There would not have been a halo around his head, there wouldn't have been bright shining garments. He, in one sense, would have looked quite ordinary, which is extraordinary considering he is the Son of God. But on this mountain, there is going to be this occasion where he is revealed as the glorious Son of God that he is. Jesus decides to take Peter, James, and John with him, and they go up this high mountain. We're not told which one, but there they are together. And it's at this point that this transfiguration takes place. His clothes become dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And then, amazingly, two other people appear. There's Elijah and Moses, and they're talking with Jesus. Now, Peter, James and John, witnessing this, will be quite overwhelmed. If you look into other gospel accounts of this story, they're even quite frightened. But as they're watching, they begin to have a sense it's good to be here. In the first place, as I say, that wasn't their reaction, but taking it all in, they think, this is amazing, this is wonderful. Elijah, of course, representing the prophets, and Moses representing the law, and we in fact get the sense that what's going on is a sense of Jesus who had come to fulfill the law, Jesus who came to fulfill what the prophets had said, Jesus who came to save. And the crowning moment of all of this is when the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love, listen to him." What we need to understand is that this was an experience that was a great blessing to Jesus in his humanity, to have this opportunity to have that taste of heaven again in all its fullness, which was something that he had enjoyed before leaving heaven to come to earth. For the disciples, it would be a tremendous underlining of the reality of who Jesus really is. And for Elijah and Moses, it just demonstrates that these people were very significant in the work of the kingdom of God. When they come down from the mountain, well, things change, because Jesus is no longer this glorious white robe shining. But the disciples would never forget this incredible experience of witnessing the glory of Jesus. Ministry will take place. Things will carry on until eventually Jesus goes to the cross. But for Peter, James and John, they will never forget such a momentous event in their lives. Let's pause. My good friend Patrick will join us and we'll be able to think a little more upon this wonderful story in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9.
There was light through you and for you. been given unto you. You're the head over all, the King of Kings. You reign, and you reign supreme over everything. You deserve our worship. You deserve it, Lord. You deserve our worship, Jesus, for love and adoration. You deserve it, Lord. All our highest praises, Jesus. You made visible the invisible when at last you came to earth, that blessed
God's word, Jake.
Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all things together. Let's say it together. He reigns supreme.
Oh, crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon his throne. Crown him with many crowns. Jesus.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at this incident in the life of Jesus that we read in Mark chapter 9, the Transfiguration. So, Richard, Jesus takes Peter, James and John with him. Why those three in particular?
It seems that Jesus benefited from like an inner circle, not favourites. But we know that in relationship, there's a different dynamic, preaching to 100 people, to sharing with 12 people, and a different dynamic again, sharing with a much smaller group. And Jesus did that. And I believe that's a good model for us, in fact, that we can't share at the same level with everybody. And therefore, these three, They do have other occasions, of course, where they're drawn aside from the others. But I believe it's simply this opportunity to share at another level.
Mm. Now, it's a strange story, a slightly fantastical story in terms of what happens to Jesus. Can we be sure that it's true, that it actually happened?
Yes, we certainly can. I think that it's quite incredible that when you look into some of the accounts of Jesus glorified, there are very real parallels. So, for example, in Ezekiel's prophecy, you'll see a similar sort of brightness shining. When John is on the island of Patmos, he reveals something of this. So it fits. It fits with other accounts of Jesus being revealed in all his glory.
Mm. So why did it happen? Why did Jesus take them to this mountain and allow this thing to happen to him?
Well, there seem to be quite a number of reasons. One reason is that Jesus is aware that it's not going to be too long now before he goes to the cross.
Mm.
And having this time with Moses and with Elijah, who, though the cross was not something they could have talked about like we can, they kind of saw it. When you look into their ministry, the law, it's like a foretaste of, yeah, a Redeemer would come, a Saviour would come. So that's going on. It's preparing for that momentous time when Jesus will suffer. And I think it's also just incredible about the humanity of Jesus that he enjoyed some reassurance. He enjoyed some strength and support from people, and especially the Father's affirmation, "This is my Son."
Mm.
So that's, I think, what's going on.
What do you think it tells us about Jesus? Because it's a very different view of Jesus than you normally see when you read the accounts of his ministry, you know, walking about, speaking to people, even the miracles. With the Transfiguration, you see a very different Jesus, don't you?
Well, I would say you do, and yet in another way, it's always there. It's just like it's been more manifest in this sense that the divinity, the power, the glory, it is there in healing the sick and raising the dead. But here, what is extra special and different is Jesus is being shown, as it were, in his true light, in all his glory. And, of course, this is the Jesus that we're going to see one day, which is quite remarkable.
And how should we respond to this? Come to that, how should non-believers respond to this when they read this story?
I think that we need to respond with worship. We need to respond with praise. And we need to make sure that we don't have woolly, shallow, superficial ideas about Jesus, airy-fairy. You know, this is the authentic Jesus Christ that died and rose for us.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.